We're doing the Ramban Torat Hashem Tmima. We're up to page Hey in the Chazon Yoel edition. And the Ramban had left us with a question. What's the great wisdom in the Torah? Torah seems to be so simple. Everyone can learn Torah. Just open an art scroll. You could even have it in English. So what's unique about this? Every nation has their legal system, their code of ethics. So what's unique about the Torah? Says the Ramban Tshuva. Answer. Tchilat kol dvar yishcha ladat. Firstly, introduction. You have to know. Shekol ma she'anivraim yod'im u'mevinim. That everything that we creatures understand and know, kulam perot ha-Torah hem operei perot shela. They are all fruits of the Torah or fruits of the Torah. They're all extrapolated from there. If you think we know something about what's good or bad, what's kind or evil, what is just or unjust, how should a community establish itself, you should know that they're all influenced from the Torah. The influence goes off. So if it's the nations that were near us and they learned it directly from us, or the nations that learned it from them. But it's all a process that evolved from there. And if it wouldn't be from the Torah, so then the man riding on the donkey would be no different than the donkey. So here we have to understand whether what he's saying, Torah, he means the Torah we received, or he means starting with the seven Noahide laws. It would seem that it's not only the Torah we received. Part of it would seem to go back to creation and the system Hashem gave us, prohibiting incest and the like. So I'm saying prohibiting theft. So there was a movement of morality from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of Noah after the flood. I'm saying Lechora, the Ramban isn't denying that. I think we were on Chaf Zayin in that one, in that edition. We're using different editions. You see the big word tshuva? You have it? וכן תראה היום באומות הרחוקות מארץ התורה והנבואה. You'll see that the nations today that are distant from the land of Torah and prophecy. What's the land of Torah and prophecy? Eretz Yisrael. Hashvei hakzavot, kigon yoshvei Romania, those that live in the extremities, like those that live in Romania. In his time, the people who lived in Romania were a tribe of people called Dacia, like Dacia. And they were exceptionally wild. And the Romans overtook them. And when the Romans overtook them, they got the name Romania after the Romans. And then the barbarians overtook them, and they overtook Romania. And again, Romania became a barbaric place. So he says, look at those that live very far from us, like those who live in Romania. The Hatatarim. Tatarim was also some of the Mongols who lived in the north and also settled in the area of Romania, Poland, Russia, and they were also extraordinarily wild, disorganized tribes. The Umot HaTzava and the nations of Tzava, which the Rambam discusses, that there was only one nation who did not accept Avram Avinu. And he says that was the nation of the Tzava. He says in Avram Avinu's time he was able to influence everyone except from the Tzava. They are this wild nation who wouldn't accept the monotheism Avram Avinu was teaching. Sheinam makirin et boran. So these people, the barbarians, this group of the Tatarim which come from the Mongols, the Tzava, they don't recognize the Creator. V'svurin sholam kadmon. Rather, they think the world's always been around, never been created. And they don't even bother thinking about whether the world was created or it always was around. They don't spend time on that. Does the sky have a mover? You see, the sky is shifting. There are cycles in the world. Is there a hand behind it all? As King David said in Psalms, the 19th chapter, that Hashem is running the world. This psalm that we're talking about, that the whole book is written about, Torat Hashem Temima, is a verse in Psalms 19. So in that psalm, David HaMelech speaks about how you just look at the sky and you see that there's a hand moving things. Things aren't static. And you see the nations that are near us, they've analyzed it and they've reached this conclusion. These nations that are far from Torah, they never stop to think about all this. Because man, the way he's born, if no one will educate him, man is an animal. Shenemar, as the verse says in Job, Ve'ayir pere adam yivaled. A wild animal is man when he is born. Man is born like an ayir pere, a wild animal. It's the education that refines him. So the Torah, says the Ramban, is the source of education. And when you see education in other places, these places were influenced by the Torah to teach and educate. We sometimes take this concept and we have a hard time with it because the influence of the Torah has been so great in the past few millennium that we look at the world and we say, what's the difference? So let's just go back 200 years ago where law was that a woman couldn't take a man to court and a woman couldn't own land and a woman couldn't vote in the United States. Right? Let's just go back 200 years ago. So in Judaism, a woman could always own land and she could always sue her husband to court. And the Puritans, it was perfectly legal to beat your wife when they settled the United States. Who thought otherwise? You're allowed to hit your wife with a stick. You guys know the rule of thumb, right? Right. Rule of thumb. You can't hit her with a stick that's wider than the thumb. But if it's less than the thumb, that's okay. Come on. The whole world. So today we look at a world that's so close to the Jewish value, that their system is so close to our value system, that we say, wow, what's the difference? Wait a second, where'd they get it from? 200 years ago, Thomas Jefferson had servants, he had slaves. Slavery in the Torah is a different world than the slavery the world knows, right?
In some ways, it would sound like you were just describing shockingly that it's gotten worse. I mean, you know, in the sense that, you know, they may have believed in idols and stuff, but the idea that there was no creator at all was almost foreign. Today, right. This idea that we don't even think about it, because, of course, science tells us, you know, growing up, it's not worth you think about other things, is probably more true than it was in Ramban's time.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
It just came about.
But things are fed. Things, I mean, the world keeps shifting in that sense.
You do a lot of damage to all the fed going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying that.
Are there different idols and different than, like, different then? I mean, the worshiping money is also like idol worship, right?
I don't know, because people don't think money cares about them. We're going to see later on, the Ramban is going to discuss when is the use of a force considered idol worship. We benefit from the sun, so that's not idol worship. So I'm saying the fact that people are very focused on money, so we say ideologically it's like idol worship, but realistically, meaning people think that money will resolve all their problems. In that sense, it's like idol worship, but no one thinks that the money cares about them. I'm saying maybe when you go to the gambling table and they go, you know, nine of hearts or whatever. But yes, I'm not sure we would really call that idol worship. But the Ramban is telling us a very interesting concept. It's a concept that we can't take for granted. The first concept he's saying is that ethics worldwide and political science worldwide are really adjuncts to the Torah. They're offshoots of the Torah. And the final thought that he said is really something that we have to think about. Because we like to say that a person is born with a pure neshama. We say it every morning. Elokai neshama shnatata bi Torah hi. And yet the Ramban is saying that man left to autopilot would be a wild animal.
Pure doesn't go either way.
What?
Pure doesn't mean it means you could go either way, right? It's
not, you're saying tehorah, not kedosha. You're saying it's tehorah and not kedosha.
It's the idea that God forbid a baby dies on day one. There's a certain purity there, right, in that sense. But as you said, if you bring up someone like a wild animal or in a house of, you know, crackheads, whatever, it's going to be big time problem. I mean, we don't have, I don't think, a built-in mechanism for tov.
I don't know. I don't know. The book we're about to finish, Sefer HaMidot, the reason we're learning that book is because we had a student here 5-6 years ago who was born to a family.
Right.
I told you the story?
Of course, I like the history. The first time I went back.
No, not that one. What, first time?
I went a day without smacking somebody.
Not that one. The guy grew up in a family where his mother remarried. His stepfather notified him, kept telling him, the first day I can legally kick you out of the house, I'm kicking you out of the house, and did it.
And
he had issues with alcohol. I don't remember that part.
His
stepfather.
Exceptions, obviously, but when it comes time for your kids to have shidduchim and this and that, and you check out the family, the chances are if they come from a family that you're not going to be too pleased. You know, yes, there are exceptions. People can, right? We see it. Look where Rivka came from. Look what, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's not the way to bet.
Oh, I understand that. But where did that come from? According to Ramban, Ayur Pera, Adam Yivaled. I'm saying
very good. They didn't necessarily have to meet someone on the way that cared about him or took him in or met a tzaddik. I would think in this day and age, if you don't have any positive example of Roma in your life, the chances of you being a moral person, the way we define morality, is unbelievably slim. But it's a good point. I mean, you know, I guess if you grew up among the wolves or something, and whatever. Yeah.
Right, that's my question. If you grew up among the wolves,
yeah, I don't know.
The Ramban seems to say he'd be an animal. The pasuk he's quoting has two interpretations. One interpretation says, Ayur Pera Adam Yivaled means man is born as a wild animal. The other interpretation says, Ayur Pera Adam Yivaled is man is born from being a wild animal. Ayur Pera, from being a wild animal, Adam Yivaled is man born. So the Ramban seems to be going with the interpretation, that's the way we're born. And you'll see it, you've seen it. When a baby is born, all he knows is what he wants. That's all that exists in the world. So their bone shell made them cute, but right.
The mother will give
them the the question is there a built-in mechanism that pushes us forward? And we would like to think there's a soul. The way the Ramban seems to be presenting it right now is that's all good and dandy, but if you don't have the education, you don't have the community, so then status quo, he remains an ayur para, a wild animal. Okay, so he gave us two interesting concepts. This idea of man, which right now seems to be devoid of a soul or a conscience or a drive to do what's right, we're going to have to modify that and understand it better as we go along. But right now the Ramban did say this phenomenal point that all of political science and ethics are really offshoots. They've all gleaned their wisdom from the Torah in one way or another, or from people who have gleaned it from the Torah. And this idea that education and environment are what frames a person into being a moral, ethical person, being better than an animal. We're going to have to see if the Ramban doesn't give us more insights on that. How man evolves. Is it only education and environment? That remains to be seen.
Well,